This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to The Undercard.
Six Red Bulls just to calm down. I've got my cat in the bag in place, just in case I jizz too early. Oh, look at Aldo, he looks nervous, bit like a priest in an elementary school. I hear ISIS or ISIL, or whatever the fuck they're called. They've stopped making bombs just to get to the pub for this one. Oh, McGregory's relaxed, lets out his last bit of gas. I think the fuckers in the front row wouldn't want to be Greek. Noses like Dalmatians, them pricks. Oh, this is going to be fucking huge. Yes, and we're off.
Is this
and
real?
Both fighters here, they're just a little bit frigid. Don't like making the first move. Not accustomed to rejection, so should be just a bit of foreplay here in the first.
Oh, fuck the foreplay. Aldo just got knocked the fuck out. Oh, my God. We have a new featherweight champion. He must be feeling like he just stuck his dick in fucking Angelina Jolie. Gonna deliver in 5 seconds for Aldo. Total ejaculation. Oh, I can't believe it. He just went down like a bag of shit. Pee Wee Herman probably would have lasted longer than that. Holy shit. We've been waiting months for this. And it's over faster than you can say. Go and get fucked. Oh, shit. Didn't even have time to get excited. Oh, I haven't even got a stiffy. I feel like I've been driving Miss Daisy. Oh, fuck.
Okay.
All right. Welcome to the Undercard. It's officially episode 169. My mic is
awesome.
Super loud, so I apologize. I'll be way back here.
That is awesome. This is the best ever.
Yeah, great. Great stuff there. I mean, that's probably the best part about McGregor winning is getting audio like that
total,
on the internet.
Total ejaculation.
Yeah, title ejaculation, right? Didn't he say title?
Oh, he said total.
Oh, probably total.
He has an accent.
But we will be covering Aldo versus McGregor, of course. How can we not? And we also have a special guest, Michael the Hurricane Hernandez. He'll be on in like a couple minutes.
Sweet.
And we are celebrating Marv's birthday today. We have pizza in the green room.
Delicious.
It was good.
Oh, so
Primo's
good.
Pizza.
It's
we
so
get
good.
It every time we're here.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's good pizza.
Yes, it is.
It's really good pizza.
And it's in my belly.
So we're going to cover that. And then how can we not talk Star Wars? It's everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Entertainment
and we're
tonight.
All big fans. So
yes.
It's awesome. Rochelle is dressed up like a Wookiee. Chewbacca, I suppose, specifically, right? Is that?
Yes.
I was really hoping for Slave Leia, but instead?
Never.
Instead is Chewbacca, which is fine, you know, whatever. But
no, you'll never catch me in there.
Why not? One good reason.
And Bailey's dressed as Darth Vader.
Thank you.
Sexy Darth Vader.
Yeah, I like
sexy Darth Vader.
Yeah, it would have been a totally different movie if Dark Vader, I called him Dark Vader. If Darth Vader looked like she looks in the it would totally different movie.
And we're also going to talk. I mean, I don't want to ruin too much of the show, but we're going to talk Star Wars. But we're going to give it an undercard spin on
twist,
it.
Yeah,
of course, because
yeah.
You're going to get
are.
Tired of Star Wars talk by the time the
well,
movie.
I mean, like, what, shut well, your
no,
mouth.
No, I get no, tired.
No, yeah, I get what he's saying. Like that, like what has not been discussed yet? I mean, you know, like it goes so far. You know, I mean, Kevin Smith wrote into Clerks about like you know the innocents that died who were just trying to build the Death Star. You know, I mean, like what. Like what? Like right. What has not been discussed yet about Star Wars?
Well, we're about to. I think.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like
okay.
There's, that's Brad's point.
Is. Okay, I got what you're saying.
So
I'm following you now.
Are you feeling our groove, Jimmy? Are you with it?
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Hell's
I'm smelling what you're cooking.
Hell's yeah.
Congratulations, Marv, on picking the Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah. What did I tell you?
Always
never
the Irish.
Bet against the Irish.
Yeah. Hey, you were right.
I was married on St. Patrick's Day.
See?
I understand. What understand.
Was it 13 seconds, something like that?
15, right?
His marriage or the fight?
Yeah, actually both. Yeah.
Well, happily for 15 seconds. Married for like 3 or 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. But don't glare at me like that.
Oh, he wasn't married to me, so I don't care.
I think Marv was there for a fight at my house.
Oh, I was. Oh, I absolutely was. I was like, I was like, you remember like when your mom and dad would fight?
Mommy, daddy, don't fight.
But the thing was,
it was so
like,
awkward.
Well, I mean, it was like so much worse because when my mom and dad fought, like I could just go into my room,
right?
Right, like I'm just on the couch, like trying to watch Dane Cook.
Oh my god!
And like they're just, and I'm just like, like Aiden's like 8 months old or something. Like I can't even like, so how's it going in school? Because he's just shitting in his diaper. Like oh, this is the most uncomfortable I've ever been.
Come show me your room. Come show
yeah,
me your room.
Yeah, come on,
show me your room.
He's just like,
he still does that.
Yeah, spits out that.
Ah, the good old days.
Yeah, yeah.
But we gotta get Michael. Awesome. We gotta get Michael in on here because he's got a commitment here at 7:30. No, so
and we started a little late. Apologies.
Hey, no worries. We're a podcast now, so you can go back and enjoy.
And
sure, yeah. Absolutely.
And we're gonna run it right up to the 9 o'clock. Maybe go over.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're getting our 2 hours.
We're getting our 2 hours.
Paid for my 2 hours. I'm getting it, just like at the Bunny Ranch.
I knew you were gonna say that.
The Bunny Ranch.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's like an hour and 58 minutes of cuddling. But I paid for it. I'm getting it.
Right.
So let's hope Skype works.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that we call. Who was it that we kept calling the last time?
Oh, Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah, that's right. So we just were like trying to get like, nope, you're still calling me, asshole.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I talked to her after that. I'm like, I'm so sorry that kept happening. She's like, we found it hilarious.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not like after the first 8 times we called, like you can only laugh at it after that.
All right.
One ringy dingy.
Hello.
Hey, is this Michael?
Yes, it is.
All right, Mike, you are on the undercard live. We're joined by Michael, the Hurricane Hernandez, 9-2 pro. MMA fighting out of Michigan top team. Nice. Good friend of ours, Kara Rowe, is his boxing coach. How are you doing tonight?
Okay. I'm good, man. I'm good, guys. Getting my bowling arm ready.
Oh, wow. So you're like a multi-sport athlete.
Oh, I got to stay competitive at all times, guys. You got to keep this competitive edge.
Absolutely. Do those 16-ounce curls while you're bowling?
Oh, yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Throwing the right cross. Uppercut.
Well, you started wrestling at a very young age. You were at the third and fourth grade level. You started wrestling. When did you get first exposed to MMA? Do you remember watching it first time on TV or hearing about it?
Very interested in it. I always loved it. But I always thought about it as being exciting. When I watched it, I was like, God, you guys are so boring. I hate when they wrestle people and they do all that. They gotta do it for the fans, you know. So, like, I got interested in that way, but I was not a good kid growing up, I guess. I was always street fighting and doing things like that. And then a friend heard about that I wrestled. And then my buddy, you guys know Ben Lagman. He's a professional fighter. He's the one that got me started. He, like, called me to come to the gym. And then I started going and then basically started fighting. And then I went 7-0 as an amateur, and now I'm 9-2 pro.
More importantly, Marv wants to know what was your street fighting record.
Well, yeah.
How did you do in those?
Like bar fights and stuff.
It depends if it was 5 of them against me.
Okay. So winning record, though, right? Winning record?
Yeah.
All right. That's sweet.
Winning record, definitely.
All right, excellent.
Definitely winning record. But I grew out of that. I don't do that stuff no more. I never made me feel good. It just brought me down, and I learned from it, and now I'm doing it the right way.
Now, do you continue to bowl while TXC is coming up February 20th? You're going to be on the card. Or you're not going to be still bowling when you're in training camp, or do you?
Yeah, I get messed with by my buddies at the gym at Michigan Top Team. They all pick on me about it because I leave the gym earlier, and they just mess with me.
Dude, you can't.
But yeah, I'll keep doing it. Why not?
No, man, what happens if you get a bowling injury and then you can't fight?
Pull my bicep out.
You never know. Freak accidents happen. Did you see Kingpin? Man lost his hand.
Yes, I definitely did.
See, you don't want to mess around with that, dude. You need to cut it out. I know it feels good, but you need to stop bowling while you're in training.
Although when you're dropping to 135, it's the ultimate excuse if you're not bowling well. You can be like, "Well, I'm the only one cutting weight here while you're eating an elephant ear."
Yeah, but Mike would have to be the only guy to ever use that excuse in bowling. Like, "Sorry, guys, I'm cutting weight." Because like normally with bowling, like it's like
my average is already a 91, so I mean it can't get any worse.
Oh,
you've obviously never seen Marv bowl.
Well, actually, I was just about to say I'm the shittiest bowler you know, and my average is 107.
Wow.
Yeah. So sorry, man.
whenever they have the mystery game, and I spiked it one day game. I had a 97, and I spiked the mystery number, won $200.
Nice.
The whole bowling alley was pissed. They wanted to kill me because I won that money. All these guys are bowling 230s. To call up a 98 or something like that, 97, I win $200.
There,
I'm pissed as hell.
There is
when you bowl bad, you know.
It is awesome when that happens. Bad. I've had that happen a couple of times. I think my lowest was I seriously had like a 68 game and nailed the mystery. And so a couple minutes earlier, of course, guys are like 68. Like, did they forget the one in front of that Marv? And then they called my number, and I was like, "Suck it, assholes!"
Oh man, it was great. The whole place was booing me because I grabbed that money.
Yeah. Well, like I would rather win the mystery than bowl the 300.
You know?
Yeah, because at least that, like, with the mystery, I can go buy some beer and stuff.
Now you're called. Exactly. Your nickname is Hurricane, Mike Hurricane Hernandez. Did you come up with that nickname, or was that given to you?
It was given to me. I used to throw garbage for a living.
Okay.
And I made a lot of money. And it's like when I just started my amateur career. So this guy, my driver, he was all picking on me about it. He's like, "Dude, you make so many messes in the street," because I used to just dump cans and just be rushing, you know.
Okay.
So basically, he's like, "I'm going to call you the Hurricane. You're definitely the Hurricane because I left messes up and down the street throwing garbage."
Gotcha.
So then the name came stuck with me, and then I guess it made out pretty good, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
If you had somebody that put particularly nasty stuff in their garbage, or maybe it was like a jerk to you for whatever reason, if they saw you, did you ever just dump shit out on their lawn or anything?
Man, I've seen so much stuff you guys wouldn't even imagine.
I'll bet. Cause
you guys wouldn't even imagine. I don't even want to say what I've seen in there. That's how disgusting it is.
Oh.
Yeah, but I would just leave it on the street, you know? That's what I'd do. That's why I got called either Hurricane. Right. Whatever pissed me off. Leave a mess in front of their house, kick it to the grass, and take on my way.
Nice.
I don't think that's allowed anymore. That was a little ways back.
We live in such a PC society now. You know, a lot of the shows on CBS were pulled that week because of the terrorist attacks. They were worried what people would think and stuff. I just hope for your sake, Mike, you're not during fight week and a hurricane hits New Orleans again or something like that, and then your PR people will be like, "You know what? It's going to be Mike. Very bad rainstorm per campus today," because we don't want to offend the hurricane people.
Mike downgraded to a tropical storm.
We just don't want to make anyone mad right now.
Now,
how do you feel about Mike Cool and Breezy?
Oh, yeah, I like it. That's a good one.
Now, we know that Kara Rowe is your boxing trainer at Michigan Top Team. And looking at your win record, the vast majority of them were TKOs by punches. Would you say that your biggest strength is boxing, or do you actually have a greater strength? We just haven't seen it yet.
I don't really have a strength. All I think about when I go in there is put on a great show and fight like a savage. I basically put that in my mind, and I just want to do what the fans want to see, man. They want to see knockouts. They don't want to see submissions. When a guy gets submit, how excited are you about that win? I understand it's a great game. Jiu-Jitsu is a great game. It's a hard thing to learn. People love doing it, and it's an amazing thing. But, like, how many people are really excited about seeing an armbar and a guy tap out and it's over? They want to see people get beat up. They want
right.
to see this is a violent society. So they want to see knockouts. They want to see a violent guy, and I just want to be what the fans want to see. I want to be a humble, good person outside of the cage, and I want to be a savage in.
Gotcha.
Now, at the 11 fight mark, obviously this is every fight now is crucial in your career. What are your goals and aspirations in MMA? I mean, are you going to be always around the sport, or You've obviously have fought for Bellator and stuff in the past, but what are your goals and aspirations? Is it UFC? Is it somewhere overseas? What goals do you have?
Overseas, definitely. I don't care to fight for the UFC. People in the United States don't really care for any fighters anyway. You know, the only people that really care about the fighters are people from other countries. Right. I mean, look at Brazil, look at Ireland. They finally get fighters, and look at their whole countries are behind them. But when you're a fighter in the United States, I feel like it's 10 times harder to make it because people don't really give a crap.
And we've talked
I mean,
about
at the end of the day, I knock 20 people out, be the most exciting fighter in the world, and as soon as I get clipped or something bad happens, they'll forget about me tomorrow. I don't even understand why I care so much about the fans. But I love it.
Why do you think it is that we've talked about this on the show? Why do you think it is that in the U.S. why is it that way in the U.S.? Why is it just that we have short attention spans or what?
People are spoiled. We're all spoiled here. Everyone's crying and complaining, and it's the most annoying thing ever. Like, I don't even like going on social media because of this. And people pick on me because I don't like do videotapes of myself promoting myself. I'm not really good at that because I don't know. I just.
You let your fighting speak for you.
Like, well, you know, I feel like I'm nobody.
Well, you know
I'm
what?
Nobody yet, and when I'm somebody, maybe I'll be more into all doing all that.
Mike has now offended me, and I refuse to go on with the rest of this interview.
No, I like
just being honest. I mean, that's all you see in this world is people complaining and not happy with anything. It's just a
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I like it, though. You let your fighting do the talking. At the end of the day, that's all that should really matter. But who rubs you wrong out there, though? There's got to be one fighter that you just can't stand.
I don't know if I really want to say it.
No, say it.
No, they're not listening. Don't worry about it.
There's a lot of fighters out there that I don't care about, but I'm at the talking type, you know? Like, there's a lot of guys that talk crap about me before I fought them on the internet, at the weigh-ins. I just look down and... whatever, man. When that door closes, we're gonna see how much you're yapping then, you know.
Exactly.
Because I'm a savage, man. I people don't understand how I fight and why I fight the way I do. I'm a savage, and I'm 30 years old. I don't care. I don't care about nothing. Want to know what I care about? Ripping that guy's head off on the other side of the cage. I have nothing to lose. I mean, people. A lot of people be like, "Oh, these wins are crucial," but I don't think about that like that. I'm 30 years old. I got nothing to lose. So when people fight me, they should be fearing me because I got nothing to lose. I'm going for your head. I'm going to knock your head off. So good luck. You know, good luck with knocking me out because you're going to be in a fight and you're going to see when that cage closes.
Now, you mentioned that you were 7-0 as an amateur. As you know, regulation has passed in the state of Michigan. How happy are you to see that happen, or you might not be happy to see it happen? And what, from your veteran standpoint, because you did go through an amateur career and have had a lot of pro fights, what can we expect, you believe, just some predictions with having these AMI laws out there in Michigan?
I didn't even know that happened. Sorry.
He's like, I'm so pro. Are you talking AMI right now? That's awesome, dude. And you know what?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that a little later because no one cared. It didn't even make the Detroit News or Detroit Free Press. Like, no one cared. The next day I picked it up and I was like, you know what? There's got to be something in here. You know, nothing. Like, it just – I think sometimes people in AMI MMA, especially you know, some of the clowns out there that don't have the fighters' interest in there, they think they have a lot of pull, and they don't, you know. And then the people that do care about the fighters' interest, they should have got some press, and they didn't, you know. The best thing was Cody Stamann, and I'll read it later, went off on a tirade on Facebook, and that was great because he defended like he was happy the law was there.
Oh, yeah.
And I like when people speak their mind.
And I noticed all people that take the sport seriously, whether it be promoter, fighter, whoever, we're all happy for this bill.
Well, of course. I mean, if you don't take it seriously, if you're just in it to make some money and you don't care, then of course you don't want the regulation because it's just costing you money. And like, but you don't care. Like, it's at the expense of the fighters and,
right.
and but you know, whatever. They're just a way to make money to you. So of course, if you take it seriously, you want this passed.
Well, right. Michael, I don't want to not let you get your practice frames
bowling,
in.
Yeah.
So I want to just ask you one more question, and then we'll have you back in maybe. Be on TXC Fight Week. We'd love to have you in studio and stuff like that. But can you tell us a little bit about what's going on February 20th? Do you know your opponent yet? We love TXC. We love Joseph Battaglia. Can you tell us a little bit about that fight coming up February 20th?
I want a top 20 opponent. I think I'm 26th in the Midwest, and I want a guy above me. You know, I'm not here to beat guys with losing records and build my record anymore. I'm here to get to the UFC. So I'm hoping that they can give me an opponent, and I'm willing to pay them out of my pocket, my ticket money, to get them here. Because my fans deserve a great show. My fans deserve to watch me fight the best, one of the best fighters in the Midwest. If not the whole world. I deserve it. They deserve it. They've been behind me since the beginning. And I love them for it, and that's why I don't care. If I lose in front of them, big deal. Whatever. They're going to see me fight like a savage no matter what. So that's my goal. I just want a top 20 opponent. Somebody that can help me build my, get me to the UFC.
Well, if the submission...
Or if not, get me out of this country and let me go fight somewhere else.
Well, if the submission is there with your top 20 opponent, take it. And don't worry about putting on a show because Marv is fantastic with magic and we can do that in the lobby for your fans and they're still going to get their money's worth.
Yeah, well, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, sleight of hand, the whole shebang.
Yeah, you know how fans are, man. They always complain about that money they got to pay for those tickets.
So if the submission's there, just take it and we'll take care of it. We hope you win, what is it called, magic number or what tonight? Is that what you guys were talking about?
The mystery number.
Hope you win mystery number, man, and we'll have you back in February. All right?
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
All right.
Good talking to you guys.
Thank you.
That is Michael the Hurricane Hernandez. That's awesome.
Which I would have thought that with a name like Hurricane, it was because, you know, he was like a hurricane in the cage, not because he threw garbage.
Because he throws garbage all over. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. I'm always curious.
We should really do like a whole expose on how guys really got their name.
And that's awesome. Why I always try to ask when they have a nickname, like, so how did you get the nickname? Because some of the stories are, you know, really, really funny.
Yeah, it's funny, though, as kind of being serious, because I was reading an article when the terrorist attack happened, like all the TV shows were like, well, we'll push some back, and CBS did push in stuff. I could just see him fighting, you know, big stage, and they're like, ooh, you know, with all those people that lost their houses in New Orleans, you know, you're going to be Michael... Kind of cloudy, Hernandez.
Yeah, you're going to be partly cloudy. Mike, partly cloudy.
Mike, low pressure, Hernandez.
Right.
Good. Tropical storm. We don't want to call you a hurricane right now, okay? But we're going to go to our first break. Marv picked all the songs today.
Yeah, so did. Oh,
okay. If you're listening to podcasts,
does that make sense?
Well, no. That's what I was just about. I'm like,
I don't know. I love Christmas songs.
If you're...
And I was like looking, I'm like, Brad doesn't like...
But if you're listening to the podcast, you don't get the musical treats. So we'll
always
talk to you in a few
live.
Minutes.
Yeah, always got to listen live.
All right. Talk to you soon.
And so this is.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Back to The Undercard, episode 169, as we rock into
the holidays.
I don't think there's any coincidence that 169 is my birthday week.
We've been planning that for 3 years.
Is that why? We took very strategic breaks and weeks off.
It's all about the numbers.
Exactly.
That's why we did Sunday shows for a while, so we could run the numbers
right,
up.
Exactly.
Awesome. You guys love me.
What were you guys saying?
That it was no coincidence that my birthday week show was episode 169.
Giggity.
Giggity.
Are we going to Somerset?
Is that 169?
No, that's 69.
69. Big Beaver.
Big Beaver Road, yeah. Somebody knew what they were doing when they designed that.
So here's the rumor. This is unconfirmed, but as the story goes, was that there was a city councilwoman who was a particular...
Which
runt,
is capital B?
Runt, let's
okay.
say.
All right.
And so when it came time, she lived like off that exit or something like that. So when it came time to name the roads, they named that Big Beaver as like, because she's a big runt.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
That's the story.
That's the rumor.
That's
okay.
the story.
I just thought it was somebody probably was sitting there going, okay, we're going to name this one the Quinder. We're going to name this one 69.
Well, I think it's just a coincidence. That's all.
I don't think so. Mm. Something like that doesn't happen by
coincidence. Someone wasn't like,
there are no coincidences.
Wait a
minute. Yeah, exactly.
But welcome back to episode 169. If you're listening on podcast, we greatly appreciate it. I know. We give Marv a little bit extra leash on his birthday.
Giggity. It was not me saying giggity.
I know. It's Jimmy derailing it.
I'm not derailing anything. Let's talk about Aldo McGregor.
Let's do it. First off, we got to give...
He's the guy that lost, right?
Who?
You're talking Jose?
Aldo, he's the guy that lost.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll break it down. Right? We'll give it a unique Undertake. I'm sorry, Undertaker. Jeez, oh, Pete.
We can't talk. It must be the pizza. It's just all the cheese is just.
Welcome to the underground. Let's learn about some poker.
Next, we'll be teaching you how to play poker.
Right.
So stick around.
But let's try to give it our own little undercard spin because obviously a lot of people have talked about it. First, I have to say I am a believer in Conor McGregor now.
Okay.
I really do believe that, you know, he'll never be the biggest superstar in the UFC because mm-hmm. that's Dana White. But other than that.
True. I mean, that's a true story right there.
I really do believe that he now has, I don't know, people are drawn to him. I used to hate him. I'm kind of neutral on him now.
Okay. So he's moved up in your books.
Yes.
Okay.
Mad confidence. But I also thought Aldo had confidence. Although now I look back.
A little
back,
too much confidence, I think.
Now I look back and him staring down. I don't know. I don't know. But I am now starting to warm up to Conor McGregor.
Okay.
His press conference after I thought was great. Mm-hmm. I thought how he talked about Jose after that mm-hmm. was great. I thought everything he did was spectacular.
All 13 seconds of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, saying that, we stuck around and we listened to Joe Rogan's comments afterwards, and Joe Rogan said that he doesn't believe that Jose should get an automatic rematch against Conor McGregor. How can you live – you know, my favorite class in college was logic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But people don't speak logic anymore. They just don't – they say like they say stuff and then they contradict themselves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the better performance – was Holly Holm over Ronda Rousey. And you're
absolutely
saying that Ronda Rousey deserves an automatic rematch when we saw her beat for 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Soundly, just
oh, yeah.
Up and down. And as great as Conor McGregor's accomplishment was, it was a one-punch knockout.
It was a one-punch. It was the perfect storm to give him that quick knockout. It was him slipping the jab or slipping the punch. Coming in at the exact right angle as Jose was moving forward. Jose was moving forward, and he just connected. And he said, you know, part of his thing is the precision. And it was. It was a very precise shot.
It happened so fast.
And that's the thing.
I didn't even think
happened.
He hit him.
Well, that's the thing.
We all thought he took a dive.
I went back. Rewound it. I don't know how many times I was watching it online, and I kept going back and going back. I'm like, where did he even touch him at?
Yeah.
Like I thought Aldo tripped and knocked out when he hit the canvas or something.
We were with a good friend of the show, Aaron.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking care of us.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Aaron. And like immediately when Aldo went down and McGregor hit him with those two hammer fists and they called it, immediately Aaron was going fix. That was a fix because nobody saw it. It literally looked like he took a dive, but then when they slowed it down and you saw...
We caught him.
When they slowed it down, and that's the thing is they had to slow it down so much because it happened in the span of less than a second where he moved to the side, he hit Aldo, and then Aldo, as he was moving forward, then Aldo went down. But yeah, that was just an amazing knockout. And that precision, I mean, that's what did it.
And Aldo connected with McGregor at the same time. McGregor had a cut on his right eye from Aldo.
But he was moving backwards when he got hit, so it didn't have the effect. Aldo got hit while moving forward, and that's why that hit was so devastating to him.
But back to what Joe Rogan said really quickly. Mm-hmm. You can't say that Ronda deserves an automatic rematch and not say that Jose does because – As freakish as that was, and our good friend Cody also once again, Cody's been great on the internet, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're not following Cody Stamen.
You need to.
He said maybe it has to do with the hydration thing. This is the first time that Jose could not do
IV
the
hydrate.
IV hydrate, which your brain doesn't get the fluid it deserves, and you're more susceptible to concussions
knocked out,
right? I mean, first punch, boom, down.
Yep.
And we'll read exactly what Cody said, and I thought that was interesting because he came off from the left side, left field and had a statement that no one else had, so I was really cool with that.
Yeah,
that's... Maybe explains some stuff,
right? That does kind of explain some stuff, yeah.
But it's a one-punch knockout. I think better for Connor would have been if he would have been able to dominate for about a minute, minute and a half, and
yeah,
then knock out.
And then knock out, yeah.
The way it happens, you have to give the champion.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Some other things we noticed, and I'm still not convinced that Connor hurt Jose's nose. We thought Big John McCarthy, his knee broke.
No,
all those nose.
Yeah, no. When I rewatched it, when Connor hit him with the two hammer fists,
he did.
It was right on
the nose.
Yeah, right. It was right on the nose. Yeah.
Because it looks like John comes in. Right
no, it does.
After knee to the face,
it does. But his knee was elevated, and if you look, you can see the looseness of his pants graze over him, but no actual part of his body hit Aldo.
Mm-hmm. But I apologize to all the Connor fans out there. I am a little bit more of a believer. I am neutral on him. He's good for the sport.
Yeah, I was never against Connor. I just thought with his record, that Aldo would probably win. That I picked him because of the past. But now,
you never saw Far and Away.
No, but if they do the rematch, I actually have McGregor now.
We'll talk about that. Hold on. That's a good point. I'll talk about that in 2 seconds.
Okay.
But he hadn't lost since 2005.
I know.
My son was born in 2005.
I understand that.
It seems like I can't remember a time with not my son in my life anymore.
Right.
And that's the last time that Aldo had lost. That is crazy.
It is crazy.
To lose, like, boom.
But look what happened the fight before that.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Chris Weidman, who was outclassed in a lot of regards on the ground by Luke Rockhold, a lot of ground and pound.
He just looked bad.
He did, but he made great comments saying that he will be back. And sometimes I believe it with people, sometimes I don't. I do believe it with Chris Weidman.
Yeah,
everything was going right for Luke Rockhold that night, and he looked dominant.
Yes, he did.
He's really quick with the kicks, and he looked good. So I was happy with that. Both those guys I like a lot. And so, good for Luke. We move on to there. But back to picking different. You said you would pick Conor McGregor.
Yes.
What did you see so different in those 15 seconds that you would change your pick? My pick would still be Aldo. If he comes back sound body, sound mind, I still would pick Aldo. And I would still pick Ronda Rousey over Holly Holm. I believe if she would have went with a game plan of a judo toss and on the ground, I believe she can beat Holly Holm.
She tried to do the judo toss and Holly
stopped
her. By then
she was already gassed.
She was, and I will admit that. But I think that, and the thing, she now has fear. Now has fear, and she's not going to come full out like she used to do, which is part of the reason why she would win so fast and so dominantly, is because she would come out right at the bat having no fear and get that judo toss and throw her to the ground. But now she's afraid. I do. I think she's afraid. She's afraid of what Holly can do to her with the punches and the kicks.
You don't think now she has the loss, so she's not protecting that goose egg. She has the loss. So you don't think now it's more of a I have something to prove?
No, I think she'll be more tentative to go after Holly because she got knocked out and knocked out bad by Holly. She also got beat up by Holly's boxing, and she's not going to want to get close in with Holly right off the bat, and that's going to take away from her game plan strategy, which is get in close, get the toss, go to the ground.
And it's not fair to Holly Holm. It looks like she's going to have to wait until UFC 200,
right,
which is going to be later this summer. She obviously didn't take any damage. I think that's an advantage to Ronda,
yeah,
because she's being put on the shelf a little bit. I think if she could fight in March and then fight later in the summer, I think that would be ideal for Holly. I think Misha Tate, if you're Misha Tate, what are you doing anymore? I mean, you're frustrated. You're like, I'm not good enough to beat Ronda, and I won't get another shot at Ronda because UFC doesn't want me to have another shot at Ronda, and so I'm just going to fight 7th and 8th seeds and just be caught in this terrible ranking system.
Right.
So that's my argument with Joe Rogan, though, why we had to talk Ronda again, is that you can't say that Ronda automatically deserves a rematch because we saw her ass kicked for four minutes solid and maybe 3 minutes of maybe trading, but whatever the time was on the fight. I, I almost want to rule Connor's win as an incomplete because, yes, awesome shot, mm-hmm. awesome. Everything went perfect. He mm-hmm. even predicted it to happen yeah. that way, which is just crazy. We put up on our Facebook, facebook.com/radiounderCard. He's been right on a lot of his predictions since 2008.
Yes.
Maybe he's a time traveler.
No, he believes in the law of attraction.
Yeah.
And
there is something to that.
There is a little bit. There's a lot to it.
There's a lot to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, positive vibes yeah. and stuff. But he is a superstar now. That being said, his take was $500,000.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other bonuses that UFC will give. And,
yeah, but...
They'll give bonuses that are not on the books, but his actual take, and not talking what Reebok is giving him to, was $500,000, mm. which is just absolutely low for now your biggest superstar, because Ronda is still your biggest superstar, but your biggest superstar who's winning, that would be Conor McGregor.
What was Dana White's take on it?
I don't know, because they're a private
company.
There's
a lot more.
You have to disclose purses in fights.
Yeah.
So we get to know those. We don't get to know the bonuses. I mean, we know the knockout of the night, which obviously was McGregor. So he gets the $50,000 or $60,000 that they gave for that. But on top of the $500,000. But a $500,000 for being the biggest fight since the Ronda fight. And since the Ronda fight, who knows after that? That still seems a little bit low to me, especially because we were at another bar, me and Jimmy, watching it.
Mm-hmm.
There's still money in this sport. That being said, I have not seen anyone wearing those stupid Reebok shirts. I mean, you know.
Are you really surprised?
No, but you remember we had talked, like, would we see people wearing
yeah,
those?
We haven't.
Yeah. I should buy one and just wear it and see
no,
if
you
anybody
should,
even comments on
it. No, you should have one given to you.
I don't think that will happen anymore. We've been a little bit rough on the edges to people lately. We've just been a little bit more critical. But like I said,
just
I can't.
Just telling it like it is.
Yeah, I can't
just
imagine UFC without Dana White. When he
right.
leaves, I'm going to be absolutely sad.
Because
he's so fun to analyze and figure out what he's doing and stuff. But good for Conor McGregor.
Yeah,
he's a superstar. Great for Ireland, I guess, if they want that. Let's be honest, though. Soccer's still their number one sport. They talk it up like it's... You know, huge over there, football to them. But I believe Conor McGregor is probably a star over there behind football as UFC tries to push this global thing, which works better for them than NFL. But let's talk a little bit about the paper. So the biggest fight, and I pick up the USA Today on that Monday, and he is 6C. So that is like we're behind NASCAR. We were behind baseball, free agencies. We were behind NFL, which consumed the other two pages. It's time to realize that UFC is just going to be like boxing. It will never break into those top four.
No, absolutely not.
It's a niche sport, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, a lot of people have asked me, in, you know, how do you get started in this industry? And when I was covering Bellator and stuff like that, we were all bloggers and stuff like that. No major papers covered it.
Right.
And that's how it was easier for somebody not with the journalism background
right.
to get in there. And then all of a sudden you became the media for the sport.
Right.
And you were the media.
Right.
And that's why now you see very famous people that have come from a background like that, whether it be podcasting or blogs and stuff like that. So the sport evolved differently with the media.
Mm-hmm.
USA Today, 6C. I thought at least deserved maybe second page, third, you know?
Yeah.
But it is what it is, and so we just got to enjoy it, and that's what we're here for. If you're interested in talking about the sports, interact with us on our Facebook and everything like that, because you know what? It's just not going to happen ever. NASCAR tried back when Dale Jarrett was battling Jeff Gordon. So I'm talking maybe early 2000s, and it looked like NASCAR could crack that top four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's be honest, top three, because NHL hockey is not a top sport. But
you hush your mouth.
It is not. No one cares. And I'll be honest, they don't even care. We'll talk about that too. We're not even hockey town anymore. We didn't even rank the top 10 hockey cities in the league anymore.
Oh, are we football now?
Huh?
Are we football?
No, I don't know what we are.
We're still hockey town. I don't care what they
are
say.
Are you rubbing one out over there, Brad?
You know what? Because here's the thing. Hockey town isn't what other people think. It's what we think. We are still hockey town.
Or it was just a marketing phrase that we've stuck with for a while.
I don't care. We're still hockey town.
So yeah, NASCAR had a chance at trying to do it and wasn't able. We saw UFC's biggest fights, the Holly Holm fight, who was versus Ronda, and now we saw Connor.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. It is what it is, but that's what we're here for. Keep joining the undercard on this journey, and that's it. I do have to say, what a shit streak I am on picking, dude. Seriously, I don't know what the hell happened. It's like almost like a curse of doom now if I pick you.
No.
Like Chris Weidman. I mean, maybe Jose would have been fine if I went Connor.
Yeah.
If it's opposite. They both hit at the same time, and maybe it was like karma. Kid Vegas pick down. Down goes Aldo.
Well, we'll see. We'll keep track of it coming up here and see what we come
okay,
up
so,
with.
Yeah, let's. We have to pick a fight that is so one lopsided, and if I pick that person and still lightning strikes, then there's some bad mojo going.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for that one that there's just no way that the other person would win, and you pick the favorite to win. If they lose, then we know it's the curse of Brad.
And I love our fans, and but. When I pick all the time good, no one comments. Did you see the comments?
Oh, yeah.
People are trolling me. I love it, dude. I was just like, well, we try to do our best.
Right, exactly.
So that's like,
that's just how it goes. It's all like, nobody cares when you're out, when you're winning, when you're hot,
It's called gambling.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah, they're pissed.
They chose.
Yeah.
But I do want to comment really quickly before we move on to our 8 o'clock What's on Top segment.
Tap.
Hold on. Let me see if I can find the exact quote. I had to screenshot it because I wanted to give
Cody Stamen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just see what maybe Marv even thinks about it too and go from there. But I got to scroll and find it. But Marv, how
show prep. That was awesome.
Exactly.
Well, I had it and then – I didn't have it anymore. I had it.
You know what? He actually watched like half an episode the other night.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, but it was a Star Wars episode.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, I can't stand this show.
Okay. What you really need to do is find an episode where he fights the chicken.
Yeah.
Where those just go on for like 15 minutes of the show.
What was it? It was towards the Return of the Jedi scene where they're on the ship over the hole, and
over
they're
the
just
hole.
They're just looking at each other. They're just looking at each other, so back and forth. And just like, oh, it just goes on forever.
So our good friend Cody Stamen said, does anyone think there's a correlation between the IV ban and all these one-punch knockouts? And then Eric Morrison came in after in the comments and said something really good. He said, they're not rehydrating properly anymore. Thus, the brain can't absorb as much punishment. That's why anything more than a 20-pound cut for a 6 to 10 week notice fight is ridiculous. A lot of fighters are trying, are about to move a weight class or two by mid-March. Watch. And so he's going to say a lot of people, but that is interesting.
No, I agree with that.
But here's the thing. To me, though, like is he arguing that they should be able to IV hydrate again?
No, he's just saying, is there a correlation?
What is the argument, though? Because I say, don't do these crazy weight cuts.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is what should be outlawed, not IV hydration.
And that's what the comment was, is that people are going to have to go up a weight class because they're not going to be able to do the IV hydration afterwards. And you're going to see people doing it just naturally because they realize there's no way I'm going to be able to be in fighting shape because I won't be able to properly hydrate.
I want to know, what kind of damage does this do to your body, later on in the years?
Terrible.
They don't take into consideration any of that.
You can survive without food for, what is it, Jimmy, a week or something like that?
You can survive without food for 40 days, but you can't survive without water
for more than 48
hours.
Yeah, or something.
Well, 40 after 48 hours, depending on the environment.
Yeah.
You start to get groggy. Your mental capacities start to go. After 3 days, you are so weak you won't be able to function.
4 days, you're dead.
And 4 days, you're dead.
Right. So 4 days without water.
And that's
40 days without food.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And then almost every single fighter that I've seen drop at least 15 to 20 pounds, sometimes even more. You see them on the weigh-in day and they look like a skeleton with skin on it. And it's gross. And you know that can't be healthy.
It's not healthy.
And they
it's
continue
very
to
unhealthy.
Do this all the time.
Because they, they're under the impression that if I do this now, I can make enough money before it catches up with my body.
Where is like the reality smacking them in the face?
Well, that comes later on in life. But that's
where their coaches and stuff should come in and be like, "Hey, let's be honest here. This for the most part, people aren't going to make it to the UFC.
Yeah.
They're not going to get up to that level in their career. Like, so just don't do this to your body because they've got to warn
you. You can drop about 10 pounds, healthy."
In
6 to 10 weeks, exactly. And that's by watching your diet and stuff like that. And you can drop, you can even drop 10 pounds within like 24 hours, depending on how much you've cut beforehand, just by sweating it all out and not drinking for one day.
Right, but the other thing is that when they rehydrate, like you're saying, that they do that so quick. We know people that have put on 20 pounds in less than 24 hours.
Connor looked like death on Friday.
He did.
And then he was fine Saturday.
Yes.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Like, again, the reversal can't be healthy either.
No, it's not.
But so we were talking to some people on our Facebook and then people that at Mally's that we were hanging with. And what happened was in the mid-1980s, a guy by the name of Dr. Edwin Homansky, advocated switching to day before weigh-ins because he was concerned about dehydrated fighters not having enough time between the weigh-ins and the fight to properly rehydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Rehydrate. Jeez.
Rehydrate?
Rehydrate. Brad needs to rehydrate now.
No kidding.
You sure that wasn't Tyson saying that?
No, that
they
was.
They need more time to rehydrate.
So there's many medical risks associated with dehydration, including reducing the amount of fluid in which the brain floats. Insufficient fluid compromises the cushion effect in the brain's ability to absorb shock, which was Cody's suggestion. Maybe that's what happened with Jose. The Nevada State Athletic Commission saw merit in Dr. Homansky's suggestion and instituted the new day before policy in the mid-1980s. Mm-hmm. It wasn't long before virtually all jurisdictions followed suit, but unanticipated complications soon surfaced. Many boxers abused the change, taking it as an invitation to drain their bodies to an unhealthy degree in order to make a weight that isn't appropriate for their age and body size. Mm-hmm. After the weigh-ins, these fighters chugged down large quantities of fluid, and we later learned IVs in modern days, and stuffed themselves with food to a point where they are often a division or more above their contracted weight by the fight time. So the mid-1980s, doctor comes along and says, hey, these fighters are getting in the ring, dehydrated, more of a chance of, to let's do it the day before, saw merit in it, and then it wasn't in like anything, someone found a way to abuse it. Hey, I can sink down to 155, make that weight as a catch weight in a boxer, and then rehydrate up to 180 and be that much more bigger than my opponent come fight day. So it's kind of like
it's
a catch
cheating.
22.
It's cheating.
What? Rehydrate?
It's cheating.
No, it isn't.
It absolutely is.
It's
cheating. If you're going to be doing
it.
But I'm just saying, like,
everyone does it.
In my opinion, it's cheating. If you're going to be a whole weight class heavier. I'm sorry, it's cheating.
No, it's not cheating.
Okay, so
we'll agree to disagree.
If there is less water to protect the brain,
correct,
it's more chance for concussions.
Correct, and Aldo probably had been dehydrated for a long time because his weight cut probably took a long time to get there. Remember, he got injured before, mm-hmm. Cody just threw out a suggestion, and I thought it was worthy of mentioning on the show. But we do have a new little thing here. Go through it.
Yeah, Jimmy. We're going to be doing this.
I don't have a theme song yet for
it. Yeah, it's fine. We'll find one. But new segment. It's going to premiere tonight, and it's going to be in every show. We're going to try to do it right around the 8 o'clock hour if we can.
We'll try.
And it's called What's on Tap. And sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. Falling Down Beer Company is one of our sponsors, and
they bring the beer for the station.
And they bring the beer for the station.
We
Podcast
have Ninja
Detroit.
Chicken today.
We have Ninja Chicken today. Every show we're going to do this, and what we're going to do is we're going to talk about fights that are coming up, both MMA and boxing. A lot of times we'll talk about like the big fights that are coming up, but we don't really talk about some of the ones that maybe people are interested in, but we don't talk about it. So what we're going to do with What's on Tap is I'm going to talk about what fights are coming up this immediate weekend, both MMA and boxing. And if you are interested, you can watch them. And if not, wait till the next one. So first of all, we're going to start with the UFC this Saturday, December 19th.
They've been busy. Holy cow, the UFC
yeah.
has been busy.
So this is UFC Fight Night 2. The main fight is Rafael Dos Anjos versus Donald the Cowboy Cerrone. I think I pronounced that right. They are fighting. Rafael is the champion, and Donald is trying to take the belt. They come in. Rafael comes in with a record of 24-7. Donald comes in with a record of 28-6. So that's UFC. We're going to move over to boxing. Actually, a lot of fights are coming up. We got Barthelemy versus Shafikov. And the co-main event is Isaiah Thomas, not the former Piston.
I get so excited every time I hear that.
I know. versus Murat Gassiev. I think is how you pronounce it. That's this Friday. They're fighting in Vegas at the Palms Casino Resort. You can
Pearl
find
Theater.
That. Yep, you can find that on Spike TV. Oh, and the UFC Fight Night will also be, I believe, on Fox Sports 1. That's where you'll be able to see that. On Saturday, you have Helenius versus Tepper in Finland. You also have Andy Lee versus Billy Joel Saunders. And the co-main event is Liam Smith versus Kilrain Kelly. That will be on Showtime and Sky Sports Box Nation. You also have Bryant Jennings, not Brian Jennings, versus Luis Ortiz. And the co-main event is Nicholas Walters versus Jason Sosa. You'll be able to see that on HBO. Let's see. And then the other ones are in, or and that's the 29th, okay? Moving on, you also have in Panama City, Panama, you have Luis Concepcion versus Hernan Tyson Marquez. I believe that is on a Telemundo station. And then we already talked about Shavikov versus Bellamy. And I believe that is all of them for this weekend.
Awesome.
So we got Spike TV. You have some boxing. Fox Sports 1. You have some MMA.
Both Telemundo.
On Friday. Yep, and on Telemundo. And that's it. So that's what's on tap for this weekend, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company.
Because we drink their beer every week.
We do drink their beer every week, and Brad can actually talk about this for a minute. Last week, we had Brad and Rochelle and some of the ring girls from the undercard at Falling Down Beer Company for IT and the D's toy drive.
Yeah, there was a great turnout. First off, we had the ring girls go around, and that was the most I've ever seen them make on a 50-50. Everyone was giving. It was for
over $500.
Yeah, it was over for $500. And then David and Bob matched that. Mm-hmm. Not only that, we had a lot of cash donations. Our friends down at Activate, they also gave a lot of money to the cause. So everything was good, and it was a lot of fun. The Ring Girls had fun, so we were very happy to be a part of that. The IT and the D always doing stuff for the community. And there was a lot of people from the podcast, Detroit Network, Greg from the Art of Relationship shows was there.
Licensed. He is a doctor. He's a doctor of love.
That's true, doctor of love. He was there. We got to hang out with him. So it was a good time. We're going to go to our last commercial break. When we come back, we break down Star Wars.
We have commercials?
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
That is easily my favorite Christmas song now. I know podcasters won't hear it, but...
Welcome awesome. Back to The Undercard as we celebrate Marv's birthday.
Yay, me.
But just as big as the fight was this past week, big movie coming out.
There is?
Big.
What movie?
Star Wars.
I thought it was Sisters.
No, Star Wars.
Sisters.
Star Wars came out like 1977.
Correct. And then Rochelle has a fact for you. How many years later did the other three movies come out?
16.
Yeah, and then...
Wait. Other what?
The prequels.
Oh, okay.
No, 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 no. It was 16 years from Return of the Jedi till when Phantom Menace came out.
Yeah, okay.
And then it's been 16 years since Phantom Menace Phantom Menace came out that this has come out.
It's almost like this has been planned the whole time.
Dun, dun, you know. Dun. Conspiracy!
Conspiracy! So we're going to talk about the Star Wars
absolutely.
Movie, as everybody else is, too.
Well, we're not going to talk necessarily about the movie that's coming out. We're going to talk about Star Wars as a entity of pop culture. Because it really is. I mean, it's been ingrained in pop culture since 1977 when it first came out. Everybody who has ever seen it, whether they have... are a huge fan of Star Wars or not a big fan of Star Wars. Everybody's been affected by it. So many things have occurred technology-wise and other things that because of movies like Star Wars. So we're going to start off going around the table. We're going to talk about how Star Wars affected us growing up. I know Rochelle wants to talk about her toys. Is that correct?
Not her toys, I wish.
Oh, okay.
Other people's toys.
Oh, other people's toys.
That are worth a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Okay, worth a lot of money. Star Wars toys that are worth a lot of money. So we're going to, and then we're going to take all of that, and then we're going to talk about Star Wars, and we're going to put an undercard twist on it, and that'll be towards the end. So we're going to start off, let's start with Brad. We're going to start off...
Who's not that excited about the movie, may I add?
No, well, I am.
But how did... I mean, you're the same age as me.
Right.
You grew up with Star Wars. Yeah. You grew up, you know, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return
you're
of the Jedi.
You're as old as Star Wars.
How did the movie affect you in any way? And did it affect you?
I had almost all the toys, and I don't remember really my... parents buying them for me or how I got them, but at one time me and my brother Todd had like all the toys, and so from a toy collecting standpoint, I think that the toy industry obviously changed because of Star Wars not only just put out the main characters, like, you know, I remember I had Buck Rogers characters because I liked Buck Rogers with Gil Gerard. Mm-hmm. But you only had the three main characters and they didn't continue on. But Star Wars, if you were in the movie, chances are you had a figure out of you. Down to the bounty hunters that they basically had just a little...
IG-88.
Yeah, just a small part.
Snaggletooth.
Right.
Snaggletooth, yeah.
They had, figures.
Yeah.
So, I remember that from, my childhood. And I remember that, I don't remember too much about my... dad's mom, but I do remember that. I believe she took me to Empire Strikes Back. And
okay.
So I do remember that. So that's a good childhood memory.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun now to look back and see the whole idea behind a rebellion and the idea of the Empire and then compare it to like modern history, real history. And that's fun to me now at an older mm-hmm. age. So that's kind of what Star Wars means to me now, is that it's a tale that has happened in many societies before, in which people don't like somebody that is in a power position, and you're basically getting those over a story of a movie. And so we're going to have a continuation of this story. I don't know anything about this new film. Don't want to know anything about this new film. If I don't see it opening day, I will live. I will probably stay off Facebook so no one spoils it for me. But I don't have to be there opening day. If it mm-hmm. happens, if it works out that I'm there, that's great.
I completely agree with you. In fact, I'm not going to see it opening day because I want to enjoy it, and I don't want to sit there in a theater packed with stormtroopers and whatever else people are going to be dressed as. I don't want to sit in a packed theater, bottom line. No.
Yeah.
No, it's not. I want to go.
I think I have this wear it opening day.
That's fine, but I want to sit.
Fellow.
I want to sit and enjoy.
Thank you.
I want to sit and enjoy the movie.
I'll be in my Stormtrooper onesie. It's okay.
It would be different. Hold on. It would be different if all the people.
You're cut off.
No, it would be different if all the people were dressed like the two of y'all. If it were chicks in like cool Wookiee outfits and
there
you're,
is you
not
what
all,
movie
no,
theater do you go to?
Well,
the one underground.
No, yeah,
that's probably why
yeah,
you get
that's
like
the one. No, I don't have. What does that even mean? The one underground. What does that mean?
There's movie theaters underground.
Wait, what?
They offer you drugs. Like you can trip on acid while you watch movies.
What?
It blew my okay. mind.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Society.
All right. Flip it around and let's get it back on the rails here.
So, Marv.
You know how bad it is if I want to get it back on the rails.
How has Star Wars affected you?
Oh, I've never seen the movies.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Star Wars? Is that?
Star Wars, yes.
Oh, you mean the missile defense thing, right, that Reagan
exactly
wanted? Well,
right.
I think it was a necessity. I was, of course, a huge fan. I watched it I don't know how many times. I mean, but I think – how did it affect me? All right, maybe this is corny or whatever. I think it gave me my love of story.
Okay.
So, I've written stuff, right. You know, whatever, blah blah blah. I think that if I trace it all back, it goes back to watching Star Wars. Like it's a good story. Yes, it can get a little corny sometimes, you know. Okay, the bad guy's his father, blah blah blah. But it's that mythos, right? It's based on the Joseph Campbell, you know, Hero of the Thousand Faces, the journey, and it has all those elements. And like I guess it's a simple enough story that when I saw it as a whatever, four or five, six-year-old, like I could still grasp like right. all the concepts of like, you know, the old wise man.
Right.
And
good versus evil.
Exactly. All that stuff.
The mentor, right.
And then it all got perverted with episodes 1 through 3 when I realized that that his father's lightsaber slaughtered innocent children. And now when I see that scene, it's totally different for me.
Yeah.
When I'm like, wow, yeah, that killed – lots
younglings.
That killed younglings. Yeah. Yeah, that killed younglings.
Yeah.
So I think beyond that, it's probably largely responsible for my geekdom.
Okay.
How about you, Bailey?
I don't think it really like affected me because I was really young.
Yeah, but see,
we
you,
all were.
Well, hold on. But here's
saw
the thing.
Them, really,
how old were you when like Phantom Menace and Clone Wars and stuff came out?
I have no idea. I didn't really get into Star Wars until I was like 13, and that's because
it was. She was probably like 4.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was really young, and the only reason why I like really found out about Star Wars is because when my dad was stationed in Afghanistan, we could only play like video games with each other because like he couldn't be on the phone for too long because he only had like a limited amount of time to talk.
Right.
But like, when he was stationed over there, like, he can play on his computer and stuff. So we would play on, like, servers that were overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I'd have to be up early in the morning.
Right.
But we played, I think at the time it was, like, the first, like, MMO of Star Wars that came out.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about.
It was like an
RTS?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I was only,
R2-D2.
I was only, like, 10 or 11, I think.
Yeah, okay.
And that's... I guess, like Marv said, that kind of sprouted, like, my whole fascination with, like, video games and stuff. And then I started to watch the movies. And then I fell in love with it. And I just, I don't know.
Okay. Rochelle?
Where do I begin?
She's wearing a Wookiee outfit for crying out loud.
And there will be pictures.
I don't think she even needs to explain it. I think just the fact she's sitting here in Wookiee pajamas. Oh, and she has her ring that says, I love you, I know. Like, that's...
There's a lot. There's a lot. It goes back to... I was telling Brad this story today. I was 4, and I remember that Christmas... That it was like my mom would do themes for Christmas, and that was a Star Wars themed Christmas for me. Growing up, all I had between the ages of when I start playing with toys that I can remember besides Sesame Street and the age of 10 when Star Wars Shortcake and My Little Ponies came out, all I had was Barbies and Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that Christmas I got the Darth Vader punching bag, the ones that had the sand in the bottom.
Okay.
You knock them and they come back
up. Like the Weeble Wobbles.
Weeble Wobble Darth Vader, yeah.
But yeah, it was as tall as I was, so. And I remember sitting in my kitchen playing with my land speeder and, you know.
The one that you push the button and it explodes? Land speeder.
I had that
speeder bike.
Yeah, the speeder bike. I had the speeder bike.
You push the button and it pops up.
Yeah.
No, I don't
Okay,
remember
blew up.
I had the 12-inch figures. You mm-hmm. know, Luke always dated Barbie.
Yeah, of course.
But it continued on up to where, like, I had, you know, the action figures and all the toys and whatnot. And, of course, through moves as a child, I lost all of it. But when the second ones came out, I wanted so bad for my children to fall in love with it. Mm-hmm. And my son at the time, he had absolutely no interest in action figures and still has never really played with them. And neither has my other son. But now that they've come back again and they've released, you know, the Clone Wars on and what is it? Rebels.
Yeah. Star Wars Rebels. Yeah.
Right. So my kids are watching this on TV. And so they've learned who the characters are. My son has finally seen episodes 4, 5, and 6. And now out of all of them, his favorite character is Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
Thank God you didn't say Jar Jar.
Jar Jar Binks. It's my kid. Come on.
Yeah.
Just saying.
But it's as it has affected me to, as a whole, like.
You're in a Wookiee costume. I can't stress that enough.
Well, for my daughter, she has embraced it as when I was in third grade, I was Chewbacca for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only character I've ever been. So now she wants to enjoy just the Chewbacca aspect, but she has no desire to see the movies at all.
Okay.
But it's so much to where my first son, his middle name is Indiana after Indiana Jones.
Right.
Okay, so when I
was... named the dog Indiana.
When I was pregnant with my second son, my second choice for his name was Abraham Solo.
Okay.
And I'm Solo.
Right, yeah, no, I get it.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, it was vetoed. Uh-huh. But
he would have been Abe Solo, which I believe was Han's uncle, like the creepy uncle too.
Anyway, so that's it's a point where I wanted to name my child after Han Solo, and Chewbacca is his best friend. I wanted my Han Solo socks; they were out of them. So Han Solo and Leia has always been like a huge, just like an awesome relationship because they banter. It's not like, you know, she's the lovesick puppy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good example of what I wanted a relationship to be for myself as an adult.
Okay.
I just assume kiss a Wookiee. I can arrange that.
Right.
So it's – I love it, and I'm super excited. So.
Okay. Now
and I'm excited to share it with my kids.
Brett said, before we get into mine – and then that'll segue into our next segment. Brad said that you, the toys.
Yes. So over the day, I looked up. There was, I guess, last week, there was an actual auction at Sotheby's in New York for
which is a big auction house.
It's one of the biggest next to Christie's.
Yeah.
There was a Japanese collector.
They're the Bellator of. See what I did there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're the Bellator of big auction houses.
Anyways, it was actually titled "The Return of Nego."
You can't say that on the air.
This Japanese DJ had collected an immense amount of Star Wars things over the year. So basically, there were two items that blew my mind as to how much they actually went for.
Okay.
And the first one, being the most expensive thing, is the Star Wars Power of the Force coin set from 1985.
What?
It's two complete sets of 62 coins displayed to show the fronts and backs of the coins, custom framed in black metal, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, it was you could only get it by special request through Kenner, who was the original distributor of the toys. So just take a guess as to what you think a set of 62 coins would go for.
$2.8 million.
No, but...
Oh. I was going to say $500,000.
Well, let's give you... there was 164 lots in this auction, and the whole total was $500,000.
Oh, okay. So $100,000.
$27,500.
Wow, okay.
For a set of coins.
Yeah.
Okay, so then there was one action figure that was... astronomical, and it's a we were talking about this today. There was ones that had telescoping lightsabers.
Yeah, well, I had those. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, the double.
You'll be used.
The double telescoping saber from 1978 of Luke Skywalker.
Double telescoping.
Yes, I guess there was one that came out of both hands.
Really? Okay. Interesting. Okay.
There was only 20 made.
Okay.
Total.
I'm going to say 75 grand.
25 grand?
25 grand.
Yeah.
Wow.
For that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just $25,000 for an action figure.
I lost.
That's insane.
I lost all of the telescoping.
All the lightsabers, I know. They just had holes in there.
Yeah. Right. I lost them. So you know what I did? My dad bought me colored toothpicks.
Okay.
And I would put they were the perfect size.
Yeah,
they would
get stuck.
You would get stuck right in there. So of course I had my red toothpick for Darth Vader and the blue one for Luke until Return of the Jedi when it turned green.
Right.
Well, this is my big thing with the toys. This is what got me started on it is the fact that when they came out, like I said, here I am a girl, the major toy out there for girls was Barbies.
Right.
But yet I had just as many Barbies as I had Star Wars action figures. And that led me into buying He-Man action figures. And I never had G.I. Joe, but, you know, I stayed along with that. I had tons of Hot Wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, there was more, if you look through the Sears catalog, they said there was only 2% of gender-based toys, how they would advertise them, as opposed to now. Like, it's either a girl or a boy. And, like, God forbid if a boy play with a Barbie.
Right.
But back then it was like Leia was huge. And now with the – there's actually been debate over you can't find any Leia. And they're actually taking all the slave Leias off the market.
Yep.
Damn you, Disney.
But there was a huge thing. Like, when they started releasing the toys for this movie
–
they didn't even have Rey out there, who is the main heroine in this.
Right, yep.
Well, there's a theory, though, behind that, though. I don't want to ruin your little, hey, anti thing, but if you notice, a lot of the figures are not. J.J. Abrams is trying to keep it a lot of secrets, so a lot of figures will be released after this weekend.
No, I'm saying Rey, she's the main character.
I understand that, but a lot of the main characters, it reveals a lot of their storyline, so they're holding them back.
That hasn't been revealed in the trailers yet.
Right. No. That's why you can't find it.
Never mind.
And it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter when they release them. People are going to buy the shit
right,
out of
exactly.
them.
Right, exactly.
But keep going with your thought.
No, never mind. I'm done.
No.
I'm done.
Okay. All right. So this has been
a lesson in arguing with women.
All right, we gotta get Truck in here, so I'm gonna go. So Star Wars was my gateway to like Marv said, my nerddom and geekdom. I got way interested in stories, but it also I think catapulted my love for theater and epic stories. So the because Star Wars in itself from 4, 5, and 6, 1, 2, and 3 is really a Greek tragedy of the rise and fall of Anakin Skywalker. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't know this, but this is after the fact. But it also got me interested in.
Be careful, Jimmy. Remember we talked about before. If you say pantheon of characters, I'm dick punching you. Okay?
And if you dick punch me, I'm gonna kick you in the nuts.
And I'm going to light your taint on fire, okay?
Okay.
And I reserve the right to rip your beating heart out of your chest if you say Jar Jar Binks again.
Well, that is Indiana Jones, which is a different George Lucas.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't you eat. Right. Did you just do that, Bailey? You're fired.
But it got me also interested. I started studying other religions because of the religious aspects of the Jedi Code and its Buddhist philosophies and stuff like that. So it really affected a huge portion of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It got me interested. I remember, like, growing up in the winters in Michigan, I'd go out in my backyard and I'd pretend it was Hoth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. I got so interested in the big epic stories and the characters and all that kind of stuff like that. And it also, and this is what kind of segues into it, it got me interested in martial arts.
Ah, okay.
Because a lot of the Jedi style of fighting comes from, and Star Wars in itself comes from Japanese samurai. I mean, Darth Vader's helmet is modeled after a samurai's helmet.
There's a lot of martial arts that...
Actually, I would say his whole outfit is really... I mean, the cape, everything.
Not necessarily the cape.
Oh, absolutely the cape. They use those to deflect arrows.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
They absolutely did.
Yeah, to a certain point. But I actually also did some research and... was that?
That was Rochelle's phone going off.
Okay. I did some...
Just go ahead and take that.
I did some research and there actually is... martial arts in the Star Wars universe. And I'm just going to go over a little bit of it here. It's called Taras Kasi, are also called the Steel Hands. It is a unarmed martial art in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, I get it. Hands because Luke lost his hand.
No, this is
for
robots. But here's some of the moves that they have. In this fighting style, you have the charging Wampa. okay. You have the Gorax Smash.
Okay.
The Rancor Rising.
Rancor Rising. I would be interested to know what that one is.
Riding Bantha. Okay. You have the slashing Wampa. you have the slashing Womp Rat, and you have the striking Sarlacc. These are actual moves.
Striking Sarlacc?
The striking Sarlacc.
It was a giant hole in the ground. How was it going to strike anything?
I don't know. Yeah. But so we decided, because we were kind of looking at this, and we decided to kind of go discuss what would MMA be, MMA as we know it now, what would MMA be if it was in the Star Wars universe? So the first thing that I did was basically break down weight classes for MMA fighters, and how this actually kind of works is, and Marv can go a little bit more into this.
It's based on your midichlorians.
It's based on your midichlorian count, but instead of
you and me both.
But here's the thing: so you can cut midichlorian counts, and Marv will talk a little bit about that, or you can try to go up midichlorian counts to go into a higher weight class.
Which is cheating.
But,
is cheating.
But the flyweights are basically your Sith Adepts and your Jedi Padawans. These fighters use no force whatsoever. They rely 100% on their natural abilities, and they need to learn to fight without the force before they can fight with the force. They're highly trained but use no force powers. Next up would be your middleweights, which are your Sith Assassins and your Jedi Counselors. They rarely use their force. They prefer to use natural abilities, and it's harder to predict. The reason for that being when a user of the force uses the force, anybody else who can also tap into the force can sometimes get a precognition of what that person is going to do next.
Jimmy took that shit way too seriously. This is like a joke that on Facebook. Jimmy took this shit seriously.
I just basically went through and kind of decided how it would work.
I just wanted to talk about Yoda being a trainer.
Right.
And Chewbacca being...
We're going to get to
talk about that stuff.
We're going to get to that. But let me finish up here. The only time they use the force is when they have to escape or they have the upper hand. They use any and all of the abilities from the higher weight classes, but they almost never use them. The lightweights would be Sith Warriors and Jedi Warriors. They use the force to augment their natural physical prowess.
How many weight classes are
there? Just four.
Okay.
They don't rely 100% on the force to fight, but they use it to make them faster, stronger, etc. They use force powers such as force sprint, force jump, and they are better anticipating
their opponents. Force gump? There's a force gump?
Force jump.
Oh, force jump.
And they're better at anticipating their opponent. And then your heavyweights would be your Sith Marauders and your Jedi Guardians. They fight 100% using the force. All of their movements are augmented by the force, and which makes everything they do very powerful. They're very, very big hitters and have a lot of stamina and reserve force powers.
So
their usual force powers are force shatter, force push, force choke, and force wind. They're not as quick as the other fighters, but they make it up for it in brute strength.
Well, so that actually leads me to question then, like, could it be – so your first couple of classes could certainly be – like cage matches, but once you get into your heavyweights, what did you call them? The
heavyweights and you got your heavyweights and your lightweights.
You can't even could you even really do that in a cage? I think it would have to.
No, that's the thing is in the Star Wars universe because we were talking about this.
Son of a bitch.
What?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that it's probably would be mostly like in like cantinas on the outer rim, like Mos Eisley and places like that.
I would even say like those are going to be too small.
Well, no,
like,
but if you're
force jumping and you're this and that all around, like I would want to see this, but I think there's too much. I think there's a lot of cheating that could go on, right?
Well, absolutely.
Like, you know, I think Yoda, like, he, you know, he would end up being like, he was a former champion and, like, right. Now he opens up a school.
He was the little ball of fury.
Right,
the
little
like
ball
that,
of
yeah.
fury. I would probably
little
go,
ball
I don't
of
know.
Hate.
Why do you little ball of hate?
He's like, not hate, though.
Like, why
Jedi.
Would he use hate?
That's what I call Leonardo Tyner because he's small and, like, he goes in there and works the body on people like you wouldn't believe.
But Yoda wouldn't have hate, though, because that goes against the Jedi code. He'd be the little ball of fury or something like that.
I don't know. He wouldn't have fury either. He would be, like, I don't know. I think he'd just be fucking
little ball
Yoda.
Of peace.
I think he would just be fucking Yoda. Yes. I think they would try to give him a name, and he'd be like it, I do not. My name is Yoda.
Yeah, and I mean, we talked about that too. And to go back to what you were saying, they would have cage matches, you know, in a cage for the lighter weight classes, but the bigger ones, like, you know, you're on Tatooine, Mos Eisley, so you'd be out in the desert doing these fights or whatever, and they would be televised by, you know, droids or whatever it is, so that no human would be
around.
Would
they have things at their disposal to throw, to force throw at each other?
I don't think so. I think that would be kind of...
See, I think that's part of it. I think that, like, I mean, here's a... Like, I don't know. I think maybe, like, I think a force fight, if there isn't shit to throw at the other one, is, like, probably the most boring thing. Because if it's... I'm just going to come out and force choke you, you're going to force choke me, and we're going to stand there choking until one of us passes out.
Unless some brilliant people like the NHL have the glow puck, and so they glow the force, so you're actually
right. So you see, yeah,
the glow puck.
Yeah, like I don't know. Idea. There would have to be so much regulation, which means it would never happen in Michigan. There would seriously have to be so much regulation. Yeah. I think,
but no,
if you
but
would
I mean,
actually
I,
do it.
I think that would kind of be the thing. Is that I mean, maybe that's what they do. Is they take an old abandoned building, and that becomes the battleground for the heavy.
But how do you dampen? How do you stop? Like, how do you stop? Like, so let's say Darth Vader is in a corner. He's a trainer, right?
Okay.
How do you stop him from like force choking the opponent of his guy?
Well, that's
right.
Just
like
it's,
I've
so
trained
had
a Padawan or whatever, and my guy starts to lose, so right. I just fucking Darth Vader.
Well, but
this
that's
guy.
The thing is because Darth Vader would be like, let's say, the trainer of, you know, his guy. Obi-Wan would be the trainer of the other guy, and Obi-Wan would negate the force choke of Vader, so they keep each other in check. You know what I'm saying?
So there would be, like, outside the cage fights going on.
Yeah, like, the unperceptible. Or you just don't let the trainers, like, you just literally two guys enter, one guy leaves kind of thing.
So
like
the
that.
Trainers can't be anywhere around.
Right, exactly. Can't be anywhere around.
Interesting.
Or they could have maybe an earpiece that allows them to talk to their fighters.
They have the force. Couldn't they just...
Or communicate via the force or whatever.
Yeah, something
so,
like that. I don't know.
But and maybe that's why Obi-Wan becomes more powerful than you could possibly imagine, is because he can talk to his fighters after his death, no matter where they are, just by being a force ghost. But we decided to
he's
also
like, sweep
talk
the
about,
leg, dude. Sweep the leg. He's just a hologram next to him. Sweep the leg. Why
also,
are you not sweeping the leg?
We also decided to talk about the big promotion in MMA here in reality.
It would be Ultimate
the
Force Fighting Championship.
So what would it be in the Star Wars universe? It would be
the Ultimate Force Fighting Championship.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we decided to take the original
UFFC.
Characters.
The UFFC. Yeah.
The UFFC. So we decided to take the characters from the original trilogy and decided to place them into what kind of roles would they play in the UFFC?
Right. We already talked that like Yoda would be like the old champion.
Yep.
Who like started a school.
Right.
You know, and
Dagobah.
Like the Dagobah. Yeah. What would the Dagobah dojo?
Dagobah gym.
The Dagobah gym. Yeah. Darth Vader, same situation, but he would have the Dark Side Dojo.
Obi-Wan would have the Twin Sun School.
The Twin Sun School,
yep.
And like Han would have to be a promoter because he's a little bit shady.
Right. Yep.
You know?
I thought I thought he was a fighter, and I thought that he would not be a counterpuncher because everyone knows Han punch first.
Right, absolutely.
But he wouldn't be a fighter though. He would not be a fighter. He would not get in the ring because there's more money in promoting.
Yeah.
There's more money in promoting, and he would do that. Plus, he has the muscle of Chewbacca.
Right.
Speaking of Chewbacca, I picture him as like a big John McCarthy, a ref.
We call
him
Big Chew. He's absolutely a ref.
We call him Big Chew.
Absolutely, yep.
Absolutely. The owner would be, of course, Lando.
He would be like Cloud City would be like the Vegas.
Right, yeah. But here's the problem, though, because then Lando would make a deal with the Bespin Mining Company, and they would all have to wear apparel.
Absolutely.
So, and then Leia would be the person in charge of the ring girls.
She would be their Rochelle.
She would be their Rochelle. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Why I think Rochelle should wear Slave Leia outfit, but she won't do it, which is terrible.
Yep. And also she is kind of the glue that holds everything together.
She's the Miss Elizabeth.
She's the glue that holds everything together. Without her, everything would fall apart. Luke, actually, I was trying to figure out where Luke would fit in all this. I see Luke as being not necessarily, like, I kind of see him being kind of like the Hoist Gracie of the UFFC. He was kind of the first.
Yoda's the first.
Well, no, but Yoda was doing it before it was the UFFC.
Yoda was underground, you say.
He was the underground.
Yoda was back in the days when there was a moat surrounding cage. And
yeah, he's really old school. And then the UFFC started with Lando, and Luke was kind of their first champion.
Okay.
So he's kind of there. He's training people. He trains with Obi-Wan's group. He trains with Yoda's group. Every once in a while, he'll sneak in and train with his father's groups.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of like, on the hush-hush.
It's touch and go
It's touch
actually,
and go there.
You know.
But he's kind of like he's the icon of, the UFFC.
Gotcha.
R2 would be, of course, be...
He would be a cut man.
He'd be
he
the
would
cut
absolutely
man.
Be a cut
yep.
man.
He would be the cut man.
C-3PO would be the announcer.
He would be the announcer. Mm-hmm. Yep. He'd absolutely would be the announcer.
He knows the languages to get it around.
Well, and now
he's a protocol droid. So.
And he can also do the sound effects.
Right,
he can do, all sorts of sound effects. The only problem with R2 I see is once Lando made that deal with the Bespin Mining Company, he tweet about it and then he get fired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think that's, I can't really think of too many. I mean, Admiral Akbar would be a commentator, absolutely. And anytime
and everything would just be a trap.
Right, he'd be like, all right, he's going for the force choke. It's a trap.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think he would be like, what's the announcer? What's the on is it Family Guy where they always throw to the one guy, the weather guy, and he's like, it's a rain.
Yeah.
Like that would be Admiral Akbar.
How's the fight going? It's a trap.
Yeah, he would just be like, they would just go to him every now and then, like, we're gonna go over to Admiral Akbar. Admiral, how's it going on there? It's a trap. Yeah, we know it's always a trap.
Would the Sandman
be like soccer hooligans? Like
Sand people.
Oh, the Sand people. Yeah, absolutely.
Tusken Raiders.
The Tusken Raiders.
They'd be the audience.
Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. Either you have, and then all the vendors that sell the merchandise would be the Jawas.
They'd sell
all the merchandise.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you trying to do? Give me a counterfeit Luke Skywalker shirt?
Exactly.
Wait a minute. This Luke Skywalker's holding two lightsabers. Yeah, there's only 20 of those made. That's rare.
This one says UFFFC. It's the UFFC.
This one says UFC. You're missing an F. I don't want this crap.
Who the hell is this Conor McGregor guy? All right, so that's the undertard.
The undertard. You're an undertard. You're an undertard.
I am an undertard. That is the undercard's take on MMA in the Star Wars universe. We are all very, very excited for this movie.
Not excited enough to see it on opening night.
I am actually going Thursday at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you going to camp out?
No. My brother is already
there and he's saving spots.
No. Because I have a feeling it's going to be like the Harry Potter midnight premieres where
all the theaters are open. You just basically stand in line and you watch it. I mean, I guarantee you I'm going to see it again over the weekend.
Yeah.
But I have to see it Thursday night so that I don't have to worry about the internet and spoilers and all that kind of stuff like that. So,
What about you, Bailey? When are you going to go see it?
Thursday.
Thursday, you going out? 10 a.m.? Mm.
No,
not 10 a.m., 10 p.m.
10 p.m. Oh, okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Thursday.
I don't know what kids do.
Ooh, she's got
you
beat.
Oh, wow, you got me beat, yeah.
Oh, hey, damn.
As soon as something happens, tweet him.
No, don't.
Fuck it up for him.
No. I'm going to turn my phone. I literally told my brother, I said,
you're like, oh, my God.
I said, after I get off work, I'm coming to your house. We're turning off the TV. I am shutting off my phone, and we are not communicating with the outside world until we've seen the movie.
It would be awesome if people got this excited over, like, elections.
I know. I can tell you,
they're already talking Oscars for it.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It might get some.
I wonder if Oscar is going to get an Oscar.
What?
Never mind. Anyways, where are you seeing it, Bailey? Where are you seeing it, Bailey?
Royal Oak.
Oh, the Imagine Royal Oak?
In a sofa chair.
Yeah, nice. I'm seeing it at the MJR Southgate.
And with Anthony.
But we're seeing it in the Epic. Yeah.
In our onesies.
In our onesies, nice.
I'm calling in a bomb threat to both of those things. Okay. So you guys can't see
it. Stop it.
And you heard it here, FBI, CIA,
actually,
NSA.
If that happens, that was just a joke. I'm not actually calling in or anything.
But so, she'll have you beat by an hour and a half.
She will. But like I said, I'm shutting everything off until after I've seen the movie.
No. Send him a telegram.
Or something. I honestly think I'm going to keep my phone off because I know how people are. Like, I tried to watch The Walking Dead a couple weeks ago, and people, like, messed that up for me.
Yeah.
I was so mad. Like, because I was so far behind. I just moved into my apartment. I don't have cable.
Right.
So it's like I haven't watched like the last two episodes people are like, oh my God, Glenn, like, whoa.
Yeah, he
like,
died.
Ah, screw
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he died. Right. Got blown off a dumpster.
All right, well, that's the end of the show.
Yes, it's Star Wars week. We'll probably talk about it next week. Next week's our last show of the year.
Yeah.
And then we're going to take a break in between Christmas and New Year's. So we're going to have like a little bit of a Christmas celebration. We're going to talk some fighting, but we'll see everybody in a week.
Well, if you didn't get enough of listening to me jabber on, I will be on our friend Odd. I will be on his show Mad World Radio this Friday. Mad World Radio, I believe it starts at 9. So madworldradio.com. He's ramping that show down and going to be sort of retooling it and bringing it back in the new year. So I'll be. I guess I was one of the favorite guests on his show. So
awesome!
He invited me to come back as one of the last ones.
You're the only one that would come back.
Yeah, basically. So Mad World Radio this Friday starting at 9 o'clock, and then of course the podcast afterwards. So that's where I'll be.
All right, so if Marv hasn't seen it by then, that's a good place to call in and ruin the movie.
Yeah, actually, here's the thing: like, I won't be pissed off if somebody called. Like, I'm going to see it anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I don't think I'll be that upset if, you know, if somebody tells, like, I'm going to see it, so it doesn't matter.
I think as soon as you get out, you tweet him. She's got you by an hour and a half.
I'm not, like I said, my phone's going to be off.
All right. So we'll see. All right. We'll talk to everybody in a week.
It's going to be on your doorstep.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.